Exodus chapter 14 is a powerful verse. Can you imagine? Hey, listen, what happened? Egyptians were running them down. You ever feel like Egyptians were on your tail? Man, Egyptians were running them down. Mountains all around them. And then they get to the Red Sea. And it's like, God, what's up with that? I thought we were supposed to be your precious people. I thought you're supposed to care for us. Why did you lead us into this hard place? Why don't you look over at somebody and say, I've been in a few hard places before. I think we all have. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. Now, wait a minute. Listen, Moses. Egyptians are coming. Mountains on either side. We've got no place to run. You want me to stand still? We think I am stupid. But Moses said, say to the people, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Lord himself will battle for you. Verse 14. All right. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, hold your peace. Most people think holding peace means, and keep that scripture up there, hold your peace means just don't say anything. But that's not what it's talking about. Holding your peace means hold on to shalom. Hold on to nothing missing, nothing broken. Even though you see everything about to be smashed, hold on to the peace. Hold on to shalom. And so sometimes we've just got to hold on to what God has given us in spite of the circumstances. Watch this. The Lord will fight for you. No. The next scripture. It was a go forward. There it is. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. All right, now I'm going to have to get you to get bold this morning. You need to look at a couple people and say, go forward. Go forward. All right, man. Wait. That's a contradiction. The Bible said stand still. Now he's telling us to go forward. What do you want? You want me to stand still? Do you want me to go forward? That's what it seems like, doesn't it? But he said, I want you to stand still in your peace. I want you to hold on and stand on what you know God will do for you. That nothing will be missing and nothing will be broken in your life. Now that you've got that, go forward. Now, God, wait a minute. Going forward means west the water. We've got to go through the sea. What's up with that? We can't go through the sea. How are we going to go through the sea? He said, just go forward. You know, I believe there are times in our lives when if we stand still in the natural, we're going to lose everything. We don't want to live in the past. We don't want to stand still and be paralyzed in fear. We've got to continue to move forward. Forward is the key because today, a lot of us are just hanging out in past accomplishments. Now, we've been talking about developing a miraculous mentality. Church, this is an age when we got to start thinking supernaturally. We can't think naturally anymore because naturally hasn't got us through. Naturally won't get you to the next level. You and I have got to start thinking supernaturally. Everybody say supernaturally. See, in order to remain mentally awake and have a miraculous mentality, you and I have to keep moving towards a well-defined target. I have a well-defined target. My target in my life is to operate in the supernatural. It is to operate in signs and wonders. It is to become like Jesus. That's my target. And so I am moving forward in that. And if I'm not moving forward in that, I'm standing still. Or I'm living in my past achievements. See, the enemy will do everything he can to blind our minds to the reality of the miraculous. And what will he do? He'll use sin. He'll use status quo. He'll use our irreparable past. Remember, we talked about that last week. But that's not the only thing that he'll use. He will use your glorying in your past achievements. Man, that is a killer in the church today. Because we think just because you had a healing in 1958, you spoke in tongues in 1973, that you got it. Quit living in the past achievements. The glory of the past achievements, because if we're not moving toward a target, we are becoming polluted where we live. We're becoming stale. For 40 years in the wilderness, and this is crazy. I was thinking about this. Okay, the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years, right? Wandering. Now, they had just kept going in circles. If you ever kind of map out that region where they were, it wasn't that large of a region. And so they just kept going in circles. And God told Moses, when you see the fire, move, you move with it. When you see the cloud move, you move with it. Now, if it was up to me, I would have said, hey, God, let's do this, all right? We know we're not going in until we get our unbelief out of our life. Because we didn't believe you at your word, we can't get into the promised land. So I tell you what, let us camp out here until we get it together. Why do we have to move 2 miles and set camp up again? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. Does it make sense to you? Why would God make Israel move in the wilderness if they weren't crossing the Jordan? Doesn't make sense. I'm thinking, okay, God, why would you do that? Because God is a God that always moves forward. And in your movement, in my movement, is where we build faith. Let me just let that sink in for a minute. Because most churches in America, including this one, we're as guilty as the rest. Most individual Christians, we're about right in there with them. Come on now, we're not any better than anybody else. But know this, if we're not moving forward, we're not dealing with unbelief. And many of us have rested on our laurels thinking we've got enough of God to get us to heaven. Why even move forward with anymore? But that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we would change from glory to glory. Amen? Moving forward. See, God would not allow them to become too comfortable where they are. God doesn't like you to be too comfortable. Say, God, just let me hang out here for a little while. Until tomorrow. Till tomorrow? You got to be kidding. God, I just got things together. Now you want things moved. You're shaking things up again. What is up with that? I finally got my kids in church. Finally got things settled. Got my bills paid. Don't you have a good feeling when you pay off that last credit card and you got everything organized and like you live in that for 2 weeks? And then all of a sudden something happens. You go, man, I'm right back where I was before 2 weeks earlier. I can't believe this. God, what are you doing? Just when you seem to think everything is in order, God kind of moves in on there and shuffles things up on you. Moves things around on you. Why is he doing that? Because he doesn't want us to rest in past accomplishments. They will stunt your potential. They will create circumstances which will cause you to fall. Why can't you and I stay put in our walk with God? Because we will become prideful. If you and I are not moving in God, we will stop and become prideful looking at how far we've already come. We'll start thinking it was us that got us here. But if you keep moving, that means you still need provision. If you keep moving, that means you need some direction. If you keep moving, that means you need some more energy and stamina to keep up with the journey. And that means you're going to be dependent upon God. But if you pitch a tent, if you hang out in the comfort zone, all of a sudden your mentality changes, thinking you got yourself there. You're the one, your hand is the one that gave you the power to get wealth. And suddenly we forget about God. I'm telling you, it's happened to denomination after denomination. It's happened to every faith-centered church. It's happened to non-denominational churches. It's happened to every Christian across America. When we get to a certain level of success and not moving forward in God, we begin to think as though it was our accomplishment. Pride begins to center in. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. And the Bible tells us there very clearly that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be out of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. Do you hear me? When I'm moving forward, I've got a dependency on God like I don't have when I'm standing still. When I'm moving, when I'm stepping out, God, I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out. God says, I'll lead you. I'll provide for you. I'll watch over you. I got your rear guard. I got your back. But if I'm standing still, I begin to think as though I can handle it myself. Oh, church, let me call on you this morning. Wake up. Come on, let's change our mentality that we are not satisfied with where we have been. We are not satisfied with where we are today. I want a passion and a hunger for what God has prepared for me that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, all that the God that I serve has prepared for me. And I'm believing that I'm going to pursue it with all my heart, with all my passion. I refuse to be people that are identified with status quo. The scripture says that God has given us great things in the past, and we should bless Him for the past achievements. But don't be tied down by past achievements. There's still a place called forward. In Genesis chapter 11, in verse 31, it was Abraham who left Ur of the Chaldeans. He came with his father, Terah. And the Bible says in verse 31 that they went halfway to the promise where God told them to go. Went halfway and they camped out. Did you know they didn't move from that place until Terah died? And when Terah died, the Bible says in the next verse that Abraham picked up his family and said, come on, we got to keep on moving. I don't know what's in your life that has to die. I don't know what's in your life that's holding you back. I don't know what you're doing and what you're thinking this morning, but I know this, that if it happened to Abraham, the father of faith, every one of us are going to have to deal with it as well. That means there's something in our life that ties us down and holds us back. And I say, Holy Spirit, reveal it to us in our minds this morning, what it might be that's holding us back from pursuing You with all of our passion and with all of our pursuit. And finally, Terah died. I said, God, let it die, let it die, let it die. Let it die in my life. Don't let it live. Don't let anything live in my life. Let it shrink up. Let it shrivel away. Don't let anything hold me back from my pursuit in You, from my hunger for You. I want to be satisfied with last Sunday's message. I don't want to be satisfied with yesterday's anointing. I don't want to be satisfied with last time I heard a testimony of healing. That was great, God, but I want another testimony. I want to hear about tonight's testimony. I want to hear of the spectacular and the miraculous that's going to take place tonight. And when that's over, I want to hear about the next time that God is about to do something in my life. The devil will cause us to rest in the past accomplishments of our life and thinking as though we have arrived. I like Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. This reminds me of the manna. Do you remember the manna in the wilderness? The manna was provided for Israel every morning. Remember that? Manna was laying on the floor, on the ground. You come out of your tent and it's like home delivery. Fresh bread from heaven. And you pick it up and you ate of it. But what happened when you tried to take today's provision and store it up for tomorrow so you could have a midnight snack? Or you can have some in the middle of the night when you woke up and your stomach's kind of growling. Do you remember what the Bible said happened to it? It polluted itself. It became polluted. It became rotten. It would not last past the moment's preparation and the moment's provision. Now look at Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is defiled, it shall destroy. Yes, with utter destruction. Arise from your rest. Get out of where you've been camping, because it is polluted. You can't stay there for more than 24 hours. Most Christians stay there for years. Come on, we stay there for generation. And we have to have another fresh move of God. No, 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 get out. The scripture says in verse 10, arise and depart. Leave where you've been. Leave that place of accomplishment in God. Don't live today on your past accomplishment, because it will become polluted. And the prophet Micah is declaring to Israel hunger and thirst for fresh relationship with God. I love the Psalm 23, don't you? The Lord is my what? Well, come on, tell me the rest of it. Think about it, think about it, think about it. He's my shepherd. He leads me into righteousness. In other words, that means he's got to take me from where I am to a place called righteousness. In other words, may I? He takes me from where I am and he leads me into righteousness. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. But how many know that that green pasture will not stay green? For the grass, the grass withers and the grass fades. There it is. I thank God I got my wife up here to help me. Stay there, brother. Don't move. He leads me besides still waters. How many know that the waters might be still, but when the rain refuses to fall, it becomes a dry, barren channel of nothing. You think like the prophet, because you're at the brook Cherith today and the water's flowing and the ravens are coming with your provision, that you're never going to have to move again? Do you think for a moment that the shepherd of your soul is only going to take you to one place in your walk with God, and you expect to be fed and be given drink and be given sustenance and be given power in that one place? A shepherd is always looking for greener grass. And he's saying, now look, sheep, that was a great place, wasn't it? It was awesome, wasn't it? But I got a better place for you. Come on. Let's go over here. And the sheep said, I want to go back to where I was. You can be seated, brother. Thank you. A number of years ago, we had a camp meeting on this property, I believe it was. And we laid out some mats, and we were there for like 10 days. I know now why they use sawdust on the old trail. That grass started getting putrefied. We'd go in that tent. Not only was the tent moldy, but the grass started dying on us. Why? Because of that which was laid upon it. You hear me? That which was laid upon it cuts it off from its source of life. He says, he makes me to lay down in green pastures. Brother, it may be green this morning when you lay down on it, but by the time you get up tonight, it'll already start becoming polluted. You and I cannot afford to stay where we have always been. The devil wants to blind your mind to the miraculous. Leads me in the paths of righteousness. You and I must make a decision to move forward. Every denomination that I've witnessed today is clinging to their past. You know, tradition, the Latin word trata, which means this, to betray your future. Your past betrays your future. Your past betrays your future. That's the meaning of it. And yet there are some denominations that forecast that tradition has a higher revelation and a more powerful insight than Scripture itself. And they want to keep you on the rotting grass and drinking from a muddy spring. Come on, lift your hand up. Say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. Isn't it powerful that when he called his disciples, he said this, stand there and watch me. No, he said what? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And Jesus said, listen, I don't have any place to even lay down my head. You still want to follow me? In other words, we're not camping out. Amen. Fourth and Vine will not be our home. We're going to go where the Spirit tells us to go. We're going to do where the Spirit of God tells me to go. You still want to go with me? Peter said, I'm going to go. He left his nets. He said goodbye to his family and he followed Jesus. Are you following him this morning? I said, are you following him this morning? Come on, church. Are we following Christ? Or have we sat back in our past achievements of knowing him when? In our camp meetings of 93. And then we complain that it's not like it used to be. My friend, let me tell you something. It ought never to be like it used to be. Because the Bible says the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter day by day. And new things God wants to give his children. Hallelujah. And secondly, if he can't get you to start reveling in your past achievements, he'll use comparison on you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Boy, we're good at this, aren't we? We kind of look around and we say, well, I ain't as bad as she. Good grief, man. At least I come to church more often. They come by once a month. I come every week. Well, we're going to have to give you a pin, give you a star. Watch this, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Watch. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 that we're not to compare ourselves. Am I in the right scripture? That was 1 Corinthians. It fit, though, in the last point. Let me get over to 2 Corinthians. That happens once in a while. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It is easy today to feel like you are spiritual when we are living among a carnal church.
Yeah.
It is. It's easy. Say, well, at least I don't drink wine. At least I don't go out and have a beer. You'd be surprised. How many people that call the name of God, call Jesus as their Savior. Now I'm meddling now. You know, you got to do it every once in a while. You just got to do it once in a while. If we were to go to their house today, they'd have a wine cellar, and they'd have Bud, Heineken, or Miller Time, cooling and chilling in the refrigerator. Now, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. So it's real easy to feel spiritual if you don't drink. But those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. See, the devil wants you to start looking at other people, thinking that I'm good enough because I compare myself with the average Christian. The average Christian today is in a sad state. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. I mean, we can't even do the basics. And so we're looking at, well, I'm better than they are. Honey, that's the wrong comparison. We better start comparing ourselves to Jesus. Now you got the right comparison, right? Amen. Don't let the devil say, look over the other aisle. Look at her. Yeah, you're all right. No, you're not. Come on. You know, God has loaded down your life and my life with blessing. Just declare to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Come on, everybody. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. I said, well, I ain't that blessed. You're here, aren't you? Got clothes on, don't you? Are you breathing on your own? Anybody in here with on a lung machine? I don't see anybody. You're breathing on your own. Glory to God. You're blessed. God has loaded you down with blessing. The Bible says, greater things shall you do in John 14. Because I go to the Father. God has high expectation for your life. Did you know that? Luke chapter 10 and 19 said, behold, I've given you all authority. That you might tread upon serpents. That you might cast out devils. Do you know that God is sitting over the banisters of heaven today going, come on, baby. Come on. Yeah, come on. You can do it. Come on, come on. He is cheering us on because he has high expectations for the body of Christ. And here we are comparing ourselves with others. There's so much more that we can achieve. You know, Peter fell into this. The apostles fell into this in John chapter 21. I said, what about him? What about him, Lord? And the Lord said, look, don't worry about him. I do what I want with him. You worry about yourself. I mean, he laid it out, didn't he? He laid it out. And so today, what we want to do is ask the Holy Spirit, Father, what is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? I'm not going to worry about what other people are doing. See, this peer pressure stuff is strong. It starts early in our life, doesn't it? When we're little kids going to school, we want to be like everybody else. You go to youth group, you want to look like everybody else. You know, we start getting in our professional life. We want to have everything everybody else has. We want to be everything everybody else wants us to be and they have. We want to become accepted. The Joneses can't have it up on us because, you know, if they do, then we're not significant enough. Listen, I wish we had that same drive in the Spirit. I wish we'd look at somebody and say, oh man, they pray more than I do. Oh, I want to pray like they pray. Oh my God, look at them. They got faith. I want to have faith like they have faith. But we don't have that drive. But on the carnal side, my God, we rob our own mother just to be able to get the stuff that we want in the natural. But God, give us a passion in the spiritual. Give us a passion, oh God, that we hunger and thirst after righteousness and we are provoked to good works by one another. When I see your faith, it makes me want God more. And then finally, Galatians chapter 3. Look it over at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We've been talking about the covenants of God. We did an introduction on Thursday night. And I have to admit, you know, I had to go back to my Bible college days to be able to get all that truth back out on the covenants. And we dealt with a lot of stuff. And we'll deal with the Eden covenant, Edenic covenant, this Thursday night. Don't miss it. It'll change your life. It'll help you understand God's purpose and plan on the earth for your life. And it'll be a powerful time. But many people don't understand that Abrahamic covenant was irrevocable. The Mosaic covenant was a revocable covenant. But the Abrahamic covenant was an irrevocable covenant. And not just Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. We have been misled. See, we think that the blessings of Abraham is part of the covenant right that we have through Christ. And it is. But it's not the blessings. It's the blessing. And the blessing, singular, of Abraham was the gift of the Holy Spirit. According to the prophet Ezekiel, who said, I will inscribe my words on your heart and in your mind, and I will enable you to keep what I've given you by the Holy Spirit. That's part of the Abrahamic covenant. But we have so concentrated on, I'm blessed when I come in, I'm blessed when I go out, I'm blessed when I rise up, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And we sing about it, we preach about it. And you can be blessed too if you'll just send me $1,000. We bless, 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 bless. And listen to me, we got the cart before the horse. It doesn't mean that there's not a cart of blessings behind the blessing. Because when you got the Holy Spirit, when you are being led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. But we've got to get this thing right. It's been inverted. We've got to understand that God said, I became a curse for you, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. And so we see that in Galatians chapter 3. And where are we at? Verse 14? Yeah, verse 14. Look at it. It says this, that the blessing of Abraham, blessing singular of Abraham, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Here it is, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit through faith. They were in the upper chamber. They were all with one accord. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. There was a time in the church, early Pentecost, when those precious saints of God understood something. They didn't have education. They didn't have churches with carpet on it. They didn't have the acceptance in the mainstream. They were in the storefronts and in the back alleys. They had rotten eggs and tomatoes thrown at them. They were on a sawdust trail. But one thing they hungered for was the power of the Holy Ghost. And they knew when the Spirit of God would show up upon their lives. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed. No one annuls or adds to it. Not Abraham. Excuse me. I'm going to come tonight and get healed. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. Verse 18, for if the inheritance is of the law, it's no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. You know, I have a broken connection with the curse through Christ. Did you know that fear is a curse? Fear. 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 And the devil uses media to instill it in us. Fear. Will we have rice tomorrow? Will gas be $10 a gallon? What will we do? I've been young and I've been old, David said. I like young better, but I've been young and I've been old. Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You got to cast out fear. You got to stand up with your covenant right and say, I've got the blessing of Abraham on me. I am not under the curse, but I am under the blessing. And the Bible said that I will be blessed when I rise up and when I lie down. I don't care what Hillary does. I don't care what Obama does or McCain will do. All I know this is that my God is in control. Amen. Come on, give God praise right there. Come on, somebody. Praise Him like you believe it. Come on, praise Him like you believe it. Hallelujah. I believe it with all my heart. See, I've been redeemed from every connection and aspect of the curse. I'm now connected to the channel of blessing. Whoever blesses me gets blessed. That's why it's good to bless me. That's why it's good to bless you. See, that's why we can't curse each other and talk about each other. Because if you curse them, that curse will come on you. Listen, you want to bless. Why? Because you get the blessing. That's why Jesus said, bless those who use you or despitefully use you. Bless those who despitefully use you. And what's the other part of that scripture? Anyway, great shall your reward be in heaven. And all we want to do is we want to curse people that despitefully use us. No, you got to have blessing in your mouth. Because whatever you bless, you shall receive that blessing as well. So we see now that we're connected to the channel of blessing. We must replace lies with truth. I don't have a spirit of fear. Fear is not of God. That's what God told Timothy through Paul. He said, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. So I got to replace the lie with the truth. John chapter 8, 32. When I know the truth, it'll set me free from fear. Some of us have been living in fear. Fear of dying. Fear of losing our marriage. Fear of losing our homes. Fear of losing our job. Fear of not being able to live right. Fear of our children going astray. Fear of any kind of thing that we could possibly think about. That is of the devil. That is not of God. And the enemy uses fear to do what? To keep us from a miraculous mentality. A miraculous mentality. Because fear will blind the mind of the unbeliever. Fear will get a hold of your mind, and all of a sudden you'll see images of loss. You'll see images of decrease and not increase. You'll see images of poverty and not wealth. You'll begin to see images of sickness and death instead of health and wholeness. What if I pray for them and they die? I have nothing to do with that. That's not in my hand. I just walk in faith. I just believe God. I just believe God. Amen. So you've got to understand that God's given you all authority to command on the earth. I said this a couple weeks ago on a Thursday night. Let me just hurry with this. The devil will not stop his forward advance until you command him to stop. God's given you and me authority on the earth. I command you, Satan, in Jesus' name, to stop, halt, and desist in all of your forward action against me and my family and finances. The blood of Christ is against you. It's, oh, come on, you ain't got to do all that. Then why did God give us the ability to command? Angels sitting by waiting. Some of us are like Maytag angels. They ain't got nothing to do, man. They're waiting out for somebody to call them. Your angels up there playing cards, waiting. I don't know if they play cards in heaven, but they're playing something, Uno or something. And they're waiting for to be called, commanded by the redeemed. Because God has given each one of us ministering angels, amen? Waiting to go, I want to do something for them, but they never call me. See, we have power to command angels. I command angels in Jesus' name to go before me on this flight. I thank you, Lord, that this plane will fly according to its engineering and design. There will be no mishaps, accidents, or any kind of incidents whatsoever. I thank you that angels ride on the right wing and on the left wing. Angels go before us, making a way, cutting through the air, that this plane, as long as I am on it, shall arrive safely in Jesus' name. You say, oh, you ain't got to do all that. That's going too far. I'm telling you, my angels want a break, man. They want vacation. I said, no, wait a minute. Don't you sit down. Get back out there. I need help. Watch over my children, Lord. Call them. Protect them. Keep them from evil. Every day I command angels over my grandchildren. I thank you, Lord, that they're blessed when they rise up and when they lie down, when they come in and go out. I thank you that my children will be kept from all sorts of evil, that they will not be sick or they will not be injured. I command you, angels, to go before them and make a way for them where there is no way, in Jesus' name. It's a good thing these angels aren't human or they'd get tired. They come back to the post. You know, they come back to the post and they're like, whoo, that was a busy day. Let me tell you, this man is crazy. Amen. You got to learn to command your angel. You got to learn to command the devil. We just sit back and say, well, God, I hope you open the door. Man, open it yourself. You have authority to go in and you have authority to come out. Praise God. Don't be fearful. You know, when a captain issues a command, I was in the Navy, and I was the captain of our ship. We were a flagship. We had the admiral on board in the 6th Fleet. So it was like everything had to be perfect because the admiral was on board. And I was, I don't know why, but they just, you know, just so I could use this illustration, I guess. But anyway, I was the captain's personal message boy. And so I'd go up to the captain's quarters and knock on the door. And I'd stand there at attention. And he'd say, come in. And I'd say, thank you, sir. And I'd walk in. And I'd stand at attention. And I'd hold that message in my hand. And I would give him the message. He would hand me back the message with writing on it. Now, I wasn't allowed to read it. I have to tell you, a couple of times I peeked. But I didn't read it. I just looked. And I went back to the bridge. And I walked into that bridge. I'm just an entry-level sailor. But I've got something in my hand. That when I walked in, the lieutenant on deck, the lieutenant commander, and all the other big shots that were on deck looked at me. And I walked in strutting. I just been with the capitan, man. I've been with the capitan. Got something in my hand. You want to see it? No, I didn't say that, of course. But I walked in and I said, sir, message from the captain, sir. Let me see it. And I give it to him. It say, left rudder, 2 degrees. Da, 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 da. And another one said, left rudder, 2 degrees. Da, 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 da. And they repeated what the captain sent. And I learned something about the kingdom of God. When the captain of your salvation, Jesus, has issued a command, you walk with something in your hand that sets you apart and makes you totally different from everybody else. Because when you walk into a situation, everybody's looking to see what you've got in your hand. But not only do you have it in your hand, you've got it in your belly. Not only in your belly, the Bible says salvation is nearer to you than when you believe. It is not only in your hand, not only in your belly, but it's in your mouth. And you and I can command. We command, not our commands. We command what God, the captain of our soul, has declared. We command. All ahead, full speed. Well, we don't want to go. I said all ahead, full speed. Yes, sir. They don't even question it. Because they have learned that the command is the final authority. Demons won't even question it. Because they know that the command is the final word on the matter. And they're going to have to comply with whatever the capitan has said. If you sit back and say, well, I hope the Lord changes this. I'm going to pray and ask God to do something. Maybe Pastor will pray. I'm going to call Pastor today. Pastor, will you pray? Now, there's nothing wrong with me praying, but I want to know what you're doing. I have to tell you, I've got a ship I'm trying to keep afloat as well. You got your own ship. You want me to try to steer your ship, and I'm trying to keep mine up. You know what fear does? I got to close with this, man. This is crazy. You know what fear does? It creates paranoia. We have got some paranoid Christians around here, man. People are like paranoid. What's paranoia? You know what the definition is? Here it is. It's delusions of persecution defended with logic and reason. Paranoia. Delusions of persecution. I'm going to lose. I'm not going to make it. This person doesn't like me. I'm never going to have my ministry. It's delusions of persecution defended with your logic and with your reason. See what they just did? I told you. You're just a paranoid Christian. That's a spirit, man. You know what paranoia does? You know what fear does? It paralyzes your thinking. Have you ever been so scared you almost wet your pants? Have you ever done it? No, I have never done it. I ain't never wet my pants. I'm sorry. I haven't been there. I'm too much of a man to admit that. But you know what? I've been so fearful before, I couldn't think. I couldn't move. Have you ever been so fearful you can't? I mean, you want to run, but these ain't working, man. They are not moving in the right direction. Run! What? Run! It paralyzes you. The devil wants to paralyze you in your situation. Egyptians, mountains, and sea. Paralyze you. And God said, stand still in your peace. Hold on to your peace. My nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, God, what you want us to do now? Go forward. Okay. And when they were walking toward that sea, I don't know what was going through their mind. I know they were human. They're probably thinking, well, George, we really enjoyed our life together. God bless you. I love you too. Okay, Martha, hey, see ya. And they were walking toward the water. I don't know if they were saying that or not. Or maybe they were walking to that water, and as soon as they made the move, everybody say, make the move. You know, I remember when I was in high school, my first little girlfriend thing. You know, you write a note. I think I like you. Have you ever done that? I think, and then she writes, I think I like you too. Well, it's hard because you don't know how to say it. So you get your friend to say it. You say, Crystal, I just want to know, would you go tell Tina I think I like her? I say, okay, I'll go tell her. You know, you got to get somebody to kind of introduce yourself to them. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I mean? You all, some of you are too old, you don't remember, huh? To introduce ourselves. Because we're shy. We're fearful. And so we get everybody, we call every prayer line in America to go tell them, I like them. And get up off the seat and go tell the woman yourself. See, don't be so paralyzed in your mind. I want to say this morning that we're going to take the shroud off of our thinking this morning and enter into miraculous mentality. Can you believe with me, and can you expect for tonight for real healings and miracles to take place? I can. I want to see them. I'm hungry to see them, praise God. I'm hungry to see them because the Bible says He's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. You're not looking at a crazy preacher. Some of you might think I'm kind of like a little overboard, exaggerated, but this is what sanity looks like. See? See, the world's crazy. Because they think they can live without God. I may look crazy because I think I can't live without Him. But the world always calls good evil and evil good. But God calls what's down up and out in. And I'm telling you this morning that you and I are part of the greatest kingdom on the earth. Time to really, truly rise up in Jesus. Amen? Would you lift your hands up with me in the presence of the Lord? Thank you, Father God, right now, Lord. We speak blessing over this house, Lord. I speak blessing over every family member. I speak blessing, O God, over the kingdom in this region. Lord, we release the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this place, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Father God, we right now repent. You may want to enter into this prayer. I repent, O God, of glorying in past achievements. I repent, O God, of comparing myself with others, thinking I'm all right. And I repent, O God, of operating in fear and not faith. And today, Lord, I promise to move on with you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask this question, church. How long will you sit there and waver between two opinions? If God be God, then get going. If He's not, then get going. That's really what He wants you to do. You say, that sounds pretty cruel. I mean, you mean God says, if I don't want Him, that I can just walk away? He said, look, I'd rather you be hot or cold. This lukewarm stuff is really bothering me. So I'm just giving you the word this morning. I'm not telling you to leave the church. My God, no way. I want you here. I love sinners. But I am telling you this. It's time for you because God's called. God didn't give me this message. just to fill up time slot on Sunday morning. God gave me this word for your life, for you as a person. And I've never preached this message before in my life. It's the first time I've ever spoke this word. I've never preached it before. And it's a fresh word that comes directly to your heart. So I'm asking the question today, are you ready to serve God? Are you ready to move forward? Move forward in your walk with God. If you are, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm ready. I'm ready. On the count of three, if that's you, raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer after me. Everybody, look up at me and pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you now to forgive me of all my sin. And according to the Bible, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if I confess my sin, you will forgive me. I thank you, Lord, right now. I acknowledge you as the Lord of the universe, as my Savior. I ask you now to save me. I ask you now to receive me. I renounce sin. I renounce this world. I renounce the devil. And I promise from this day forward to serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, and with all my strength in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God's going to change your life. He's going to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it's going to enable you to keep your promise. Now, how many have a cell phone in here this morning? Raise your hand if you have a cell phone. Okay, get it out. Turn it on. Is it turned off or is it turned on? Turn it on. Everybody turn their cell phones on. We're going to do something in church we've never done before. Are you ready? We're going to make a phone call. Say, who are you going to call? Whoever you want to be here tonight. I'm serious as a scripture. Come on. Are you ready? Get your cell phone out. Is it turned on? Either text somebody right now. I dare you. Text somebody. Say, you won't believe this. I'm sitting in church and Pastor asked me to ask you to come tonight. All right? This is mercy calling. Hey, this is mercy calling. Want to know if you want to come to church tonight to hear the Holy Ghost and to watch the Spirit of the Lord. Are you ready? Okay, make a phone call. You can't get a signal? All right, text them. You getting a phone call? You getting through? She's getting through. Anybody else getting through? About half of, you know, this is like taking up the offering. Half give and half don't. Half are making a phone call, half are looking at me like, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way. You got somebody on the phone right now. Huh? No, do I want to talk to him?
Okay. Who is it?
Harry.
Hi, how are you? This is Pastor Lewis Kayaton calling from Church on the North Coast. How are you? No, this is not a recording. This is live. You hear all the people? And your name is? Carrion. Okay, we're going to say hi. Carrie, we're going to say hi to Carrie, all right? Ready? One, two, three, say hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
And we're going to invite you to come tonight for the healing and deliverance service. Are you ready? Okay, ask her to come tonight. Okay, we're just making phone calls in church and texting everybody that we love, so we'll see you tonight, okay? All right, thanks, bye. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else call anybody or text anybody? You text somebody? Who you got there? Huh? Your buddy? Throw the phone up here. I'll catch it. Okay. Oh, that you don't want to throw that. That's an expensive phone. Hello. How are you, man? This is Lewis Kayaton. I'm the pastor at Church on the North Coast, and we're in church service right now. And we really felt like the Holy Spirit told us to call our friends and invite them to come to church tonight because we're going to have a healing and deliverance service. So we're all going to invite you. What's your first name again? Gregory. Okay, so we're going to invite you. Okay, there's a couple hundred people here that want to invite you. Ready? His name is Gregory. So ask Gregory to come to church tonight. Hi, Gregory.
Hi.
Come on to church. We're asking you to come, brother. Okay. See you tonight at 6. Okay. Okay. Everybody else? I don't need to talk to anybody else. But did anybody? How many people actually made a call or did a text? Let me see. Okay. The rest of you all chicken, eh? Oh, you forgot your cell phone. That's all. Oh, they don't have any friends. Okay. Listen, This is a time when we need to lift up our voice. We need to get bold in God. Because I knew that if I said call somebody this afternoon, you'd be watching Boston and Atlanta and you'd forget about making that call. But this morning, we're glad that you made that call. Altar ministers, where are you? Wave at me. Would you come up and join us across the front of this room? Those of you that raised your hand or prayed that prayer earlier, I want you to come for prayer. And we're going to believe God for your breakthrough, for your salvation, for your miracle. Because this is a day that God wants to give you a blessing in your life. Are you ready? So those of you that raised your hand or prayed that prayer, I want everybody to stand up right now. And then those of you that prayed that prayer, come on out. Why don't you look to somebody right or left and say, hey, if you prayed that prayer, I'll go with you. Come on, ask somebody. Say, if you prayed that prayer, I'll go with you. Take them by the hand and bring them up to this altar. Yeah, you live right. You love everybody. You pray hard. And we'll see you tonight, all right? God bless y'all.